Prickly City goes to Iowa. Yahoo!
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for July 22nd, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here's your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stanton.
That's me, and if it sounds a little weird, we apologize. We are in the middle of a move, and so we're trying this with one microphone in the middle of a room.
Yep. Yeah, this is definitely not WGN Studios.
It is not, and we don't have our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer, here to help
us.
No,
we miss Brian.
We do. So, well, someday we'll see him again.
Well, he's not going anywhere.
No, he's fine, actually. Yeah. And we're fine. Anyhow, so this week in Prickly City, the cast, Carmen and Winslow, took a little trip and went to Iowa. That's where the first caucus state, obviously, before New Hampshire's primary. And I thought it would be kind of a fun opportunity because there are so many Democratic candidates. I figured I needed to give myself a lot of time to look at each one and comment on each one and kind of play around.
Okay. Well, Pickle Pete wants to know, why is it that in the last 60 years, things seem to improve when there is a Dem in the White House and seem to go downhill with the Repub? Just too many Archie Bunkers out there still.
I have to jump in on that one. Who was that again?
Pickle Pete.
Pickle Pete, I have to disagree with you. There are times, I mean, things were awful under Jimmy Carter, who was a.k.a. a Democrat, and Ronald Reagan took over and things got significantly better. It's a hard thing to say. It's not sustainable, substantial to say, or historically sustainable to say that this is true. The fact of the matter is there are good Democrats, there are bad Democrats, there are good Republicans, there are bad Republicans. Sometimes we elect the stinkers and sometimes we elect the saints.
And they still have to work with Congress.
Yeah, and that's a whole different stew altogether, isn't it? So I'm sorry to jump in, Janine. Any other comments?
They also went looking for candidates, and they mentioned that are there any other Republicans? Trump and the guy who's going to lose to him. And Gannat said, I would think that not only is Scott Stantis happy that Bill Weld is running, he'd hope he continues to run as an independent when he loses the primary.
You know, I thought about this, and I like Bill Weld. We had him on the podcast 4 years ago when he was the vice presidential nominee on the Libertarian ticket, along with Gary Johnson. And I'm really excited and hopeful for this run this time. It's going to be interesting to see. I have no idea. I don't think anyone does. Are there enough Republicans like myself who are motivated enough who will go out and vote for Bill Weld? I doubt it. It just seems that the Republican Party has lost its mind and has gone Trump crazy. And that's unfortunate, but that seems to be the way things are going. But Bill Weld is a good guy, and I think we liked him very much. And I would hope that he does well. Running for an independent after losing in the primaries just seems like bad form. You know, it does to me.
Kind of like whiny and...
Yeah, I didn't win, so now I'm going to run as something. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense unless there is a real groundswell of support. You know, we were talking about Ronald Reagan. I don't know if you remember Congressman Anderson back in 1980 ran in the primaries, lost, and then he ran as an independent.
Right.
And that didn't go well. It didn't go really anywhere, quite frankly.
And TLH1310 says, basically, members of the right wing are either gun nuts, religious nuts, leave my nuts alone, or do as I say, not as I do nuts. However, I don't have a better opinion of the left wing. My opinion is to have a five or more party parliamentarian system. Laws aren't supposed to be made as the wind blows. One party writes a law, then the other party repeals it 4 years later. Laws are meant to benefit all in the future, not just to push an agenda, whether it's ACA or repealing Roe versus Wade, just to pick two conflicting ideologies. Anytime there is a strong constituent opposition, the bill needs more work instead of just pushing it through just because we have the majority and there's nothing you can do about it. Those are things that will get repealed or dissected when the other side gets the majority.
See, I couldn't agree with that more. Who was that again?
That was TLH1310.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And we've talked about that. We just talked about it earlier. I mean, when back in 2016, Gary Johnson was coming very close to reaching the threshold of being invited to the debates. And my take then was, wouldn't it be great if he was invited, as was Jill Stein, who was the Green Party candidate? I think that would have been fantastic to have four passionate people talk about policy and not name call. Well, one candidate in particular. But wouldn't that have been interesting?
It would have.
It would have been. And that, how great for the Republic to have more than two voices. And here's what has to happen is the states have to open up their systems to allow more than two parties on the ballot. The fact is, it's not going to happen unless we demand that it does. Because let's face it, they don't want it to. They're very happy the way things are. It's two parties. You go to the, you know, you go to the grocery store, you've got Coke or Diet Coke. That's it. And they like it that way. They can control the market. We have to open up the market. It's like any other market and free market ideal, for me at least. You have to open up the market of ideas. And that's when things get interesting and things get better. Any other comments there, Janine?
Oh, you had mentioned in the strip that Carmen wanted to hurry up so she can go heckle Kamala. And Darson 54 said, Carmen, I will go easy on the heckling. Remember how she handled Barr and Biden? You would be a goldfish cracker snack.
I think she's probably right. I like Kamala. I think she did a great job in the debates. You know, she got a lot of blowback for that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because she was so mean to Joe Biden. Well, and the blowback came from old Democrats, people, old Hillary types. And
well, he should have been prepared to answer
any kind of a question. He just seemed, you know what he seemed? And I just turned 60, so I can say this. He seemed old. And Kamala seemed tough. She seemed prepared. She seemed, in command. I thought she did well. I think there's a couple of Democrat candidates who are starting to kind of bubble up to the top, and that's what I'm interested in watching.
Okay, 95 says, in my opinion, as long as quote unquote media of entertainment garners more attention than politics and what affects the lives of citizens, we will continue to get the elected entertainment we now enjoy.
It has become entertainment. Look, we have a good Lord, people, we have a reality show star as our president. I mean, Idiocracy has come true.
Who tweets foreign policy.
Yes. And, well, just tweets and threatens and calls people names and he like a five-year-old. That's what we have as president now. So you're absolutely right. Then other comments. I'm sorry. I might have jumped in on that one.
Oh, that was fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Michael's 11 says, I don't understand the rush to commit. I have over 1 year and 3 months before I have to actually decide. It is more fun to have an open mind and see if natural selection can get it right this time. And Sparky81884 said, more like 6 to 9 months if you plan to vote in the Democratic primaries. But I agree, there's no rush to commit.
There's not, but now's the time to listen. Now's the time to get excited by, let's say, down ballot, let's call them that, candidates, someone who you wouldn't normally pay attention to. I don't think if we didn't have this long lag time, you wouldn't have someone like Mayor Pete in the ascent.
Okay.
Oh, you look like you were about to say something.
No, I was listening.
Really?
Yes.
You're listening to
me? Once in a while.
Almost never happens. Well, listen, thank you all for listening. I hope you put up with the audio this time around. And trust me when I say next time it'll be better.
We hope.
Well, one can pray. Mm-hmm. Can't win. Listen, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. Thank you to Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer. We do miss you, Brian. We really do. And WGN and WGN Plus for hosting this podcast. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. You can register and get free stuff, and you can't do better than free.
Free's good.
Free is great. Also, you can leave a comment. We might just read it here on the podcast, which would be great. And if you want to contact us directly, please do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. For Janine and for me and for everybody, Carmen and Winslow and all the cast from Prickly City, thank you for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny paper.